Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Did you know that the bold, smooth taste of Dunkin' cold coffee can be brewed in your Keurig coffee maker and enjoyed at home? Dunkin's cold K-Cup pods were crafted to be brewed hot and enjoyed cold. And of course, they're packed with the Dunkin' flavor you crave. Brew over ice and sip in seconds. Because the home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.
Good Monday morning. The Middle East on the brink.
Iran's attack on Israel over the weekend, escalating fears of a broader war. It's April 15th. This is Today. On edge, the world bracing for Israel's response after being bombarded by hundreds of missiles and drones from Iran. The U.S. urging restraint, desperate to avoid a wider conflict across the region. We'll talk to one of the president's top advisors just ahead. On trial, Donald Trump heading to a New York courtroom this morning. Jury selection set to begin at the first ever criminal trial of a former president over whether he broke the law to cover up a sex scandal with a former porn star just weeks before the 2016 election. We'll break down the latest from the courthouse to the campaign trail. Storm threat. Millions in the Midwest and the South in the crosshairs today as a new round of severe weather races across the country. Al's got everything you need to know. Showdown. The battle intensifies over O.J. Simpson's estate, with tens of millions still owed to the families of Nicole Brown and Ron Goldman. This morning, what his executor is saying about that and Simpson's final days. Those stories plus fever pitch. Caitlin Clark expected to go number one in tonight's WNBA draft. But first, one-on-one with us on her impact on the next generation.
Just to see them scream your name or have your jersey on, that's something that never gets old.
And her big weekend on SNL.
Here to comment is Caitlin Clark.
Our conversation with the basketball phenom straight ahead. And winner, winner, free chicken dinner. Inside the fun moment, an NBA fan favorite misses on purpose to give the crowd exactly what they want. Today, Monday, April 15th, 2024.
From NBC News, this is Today with Savannah Guthrie and Hoda Kotb, live from Studio 1A in Rockefeller Plaza.
Hi, everybody. Good morning. Welcome to Today, Monday morning. Nice to have you starting your week with us.
Good to see you. We're following two major stories, including this morning's start of the first criminal trial against former President Donald Trump. The very latest from court in just a moment.
But we will begin with U.S. officials closely monitoring those mounting tensions in the Middle East this morning. Israel's war cabinet is meeting to discuss its response to this weekend's unprecedented attack from Iran in Israel. More than 300 drones and missiles launched into Israel on Saturday night. Most were thwarted by Israel's air defense systems with support from the U.S. and other allies. But today, the president is urging Benjamin Netanyahu not to retaliate amid fears it could spark a wider war. We'll talk to National Security Council spokesman John Kirby in a moment. But first, NBC's chief foreign correspondent Richard Engel, who joins us from Jerusalem. Richard, good morning.
Good morning, Savannah. This could have been so much worse. Iran's attack was stopped, but had it not been, it is very likely that we would be in a new war right now with the U.S. involved. And this morning, President Biden and other world leaders are calling for restraint and de-escalation.
Looking at Israel this morning, you can hardly tell the country just faced an unprecedented attack from Iran. Israelis bounce back quickly. But what happened this weekend could have easily triggered a massive war, and it's not off the table. What saved Israel and stopped a wider war were air defenses and extensive American help. Around 2 a.m. Sunday morning, we watched as more than 300 Iranian missiles and drones were heading for Israel, its air defense system lighting up the sky over Jerusalem.
For the last several minutes, we've seen these flares streaking all across the skies over Jerusalem. And now, for the first time, we're hearing the air raid sirens.
It was a striking juxtaposition. Modern weapons over the ancient city. Sites holy to billions of Jews, Christians, and Muslims could have easily been damaged or destroyed. Also threatened, the nearby Christian town of Bethlehem. visiting American Cardinal Dolan forced to take shelter. In the end, there was almost no damage, as Israel, the U.S., and other allies shot down 99% of Iran's missiles and drones, most of them before they even entered Israeli airspace. President Biden praising American troops involved.
I swear to God, you're incredible.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Keep it going. Stay safe, man.
In Iran, they celebrated the nation's first direct attack against Israel. Retaliation for an Israeli airstrike 2 weeks ago on the Iranian embassy compound in Damascus that killed 7 members of Iran's Revolutionary Guard. But Iran could have made its attack more difficult to stop, sending its slow-flying drones in waves all the way from Iran, effectively giving Israel hours of advance warning.
Israel's security cabinet meets again today, but so far Israeli officials are staying vague about any potential response, saying only that Israel will respond to this Iranian attack at a time and place of its choosing. Savannah.
Richard, thank you very much. And joining us now is National Security Council spokesman Admiral John Kirby. John, good morning to you.
Good morning. Thank you.
This was a massive attack inside Israel, the first ever direct attack on Israel from Iranian soil. Is it your expectation that Israel will be retaliating? The War Cabinet is meeting as we speak.
I think that's going to be up to the War Cabinet and Prime Minister Netanyahu to decide. We certainly wouldn't get ahead of any decisions that they might make. President, in his conversation with Prime Minister Netanyahu, lauded the amazing success that they had in shooting down the vast, vast majority of the missiles and drones that were fired at them. I mean, very few impacts, no casualties. It was an incredible military achievement. And he urged Prime Minister Netanyahu to consider the impact of that great success and what that meant, the message it sent, not only about Israel's military superiority, but about the fact that Iran had utterly failed in what they tried to do.
Well, let's just be as blunt as possible. It is essentially what the White House is saying to Israel, as has been reported, take the win, not to retaliate. Is that the U.S. position? Israel, don't retaliate.
Again, the president made it clear to Prime Minister Netanyahu that there was much to be proud of the other night in terms of the military success. The president has also been very clear in multiple venues that we do not seek a war with Iran. We don't want to see a wider war in the region.
Well, as we all know, this strike from Iran was in retaliation for a strike that Israel took against Iranian forces in Syria that killed 7 IRGC officers. The Israelis gave no heads up to its ally, the U.S. Was that needlessly provocative? Do you think that Israel bears some responsibility for escalating this and getting us to this point?
Well, look, let's be clear here. Iran has been funding, resourcing groups like Hamas, Hezbollah, the Houthis down in Yemen, all of which also, with the exception of Hamas, these proxy groups, including those in Iraq and Syria, also participated in these strikes against Israel on Israeli soil. Iran is the one who is providing the means and the resources through which these groups and their own military was able to conduct this unprecedented attack on Israel.
So, I mean, given that, and given what the White House is signaling about its messaging to the Israelis, I mean, I just want to go back to the point here. Is the White House saying in between the lines, essentially, to Israel, don't retaliate now? I mean, the Iranians have claimed that they have concluded their response to the Syria attack. So is it the U.S. position that if Israel sits tight, this can end right now?
Well, we want to see de-escalation clearly in the region, and everything the president has done since October 7th has been designed to keep this from becoming a wider war, Savannah. And that's why we're going to keep lashed up with our Israeli counterparts. That's why we're going to make it clear again to the Israelis. We'll do what we have to do to defend them, help them in their self-defense. But we don't want to see a wider war. We don't want to see this escalate. We certainly are not looking for a war with Iran.
On the other hand, if Israel does not retaliate, some say if the U.S. doesn't respond directly, then Iran will simply be emboldened. And here you're getting it from both sides. Senator John Fetterman said he disagrees with the president seeming to rule out any U.S. response against Iran. And Congressman Dan Crenshaw said, when you diminish deterrence, the enemy feels emboldened to strike.
I think what we showed the other night in concert with partners and, of course, the Israelis is that Iran is not militarily superior, that Iran is not 10 feet tall, and that we will act, that Israel is not alone. We will act with them in their self-defense. I don't know how you can look at the incredible military achievements the other night and come away with any other idea that the United States, that President Biden is not going to stand by our good friend and ally Israel as they defend themselves.
But we would be having a much different conversation had we not had that incredible, as you mentioned, ability to repel 99% of these missiles and drones that were coming toward Israel. Does Netanyahu's actions in the region make the U.S. nervous?
I think we are concerned about tensions rising all throughout the region, Savannah. And again, everything that the president has been doing in adding resources and the diplomacy in holding Iran accountable has been designed to try to de-escalate those tensions. Look, I'm not going to make a political statement from here. Prime Minister Netanyahu is the elected prime minister for the state of Israel, and he's got a war cabinet that that he's administering. We're not going to agree with everything that he and that war cabinet want to do. That's been clear for the last 6 months, and I suspect that will happen again in the future. But we are clear, and we do agree on the need for Israel to exist as a state, to be able to live in safety and security in a very, very tough neighborhood, and in our commitment to helping them defend themselves.
The president has had a previous conversation with Netanyahu that was quite tense, where he called for a ceasefire in Gaza, called for more humanitarian assistance, called for the release of hostages. How does the weekend's events affect those negotiations that are ongoing for the release of hostages in exchange for a ceasefire?
Well, I don't know that there's active negotiations going on right now. As you know, about a week or so ago, there were a set of discussions in Cairo. CIA Director Bill Burns represented the United States at those meetings. And a proposal was arrived at in Cairo a week or so ago, agreed to by the Israelis. Now it's at Hamas's doorstep. They need to take that deal. They need to move forward on it. It's the best chance we've got right now to get those hostages home, to get a six-week ceasefire in place, and to get more humanitarian assistance in. The ball's in Hamas's court.
A lot going on a busy, busy morning. Thank you for your time, National Security Spokesman John Kirby. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
The other major story we're following, Donald Trump's legal troubles colliding head-on with the 2024 race. Jury selection begins this morning in his hush money case here in New York, the first ever criminal trial of a former U.S. president. We're going to break it all down and the politics at play in just a moment. But first, NBC senior legal correspondent Laura Jarrett is here with what to expect in court. Hey, Laura, good morning.
Hey, Hoda, good morning to you. It was just a little over a year ago that Donald Trump walked into a Manhattan courtroom for his first arraignment. And today, another first. The former president and current presumptive GOP nominee on trial in the middle of a campaign, possibly the only one of his four criminal cases to see a conclusion before this November.
This morning in New York City, history in the making, with jury selection beginning in the first criminal trial against Donald Trump. Thousands of prospective jurors summoned down to the courthouse in Lower Manhattan for extensive vetting over the next several days, questioned on everything from their favorite podcasts to whether they've ever been to a Trump rally. The ultimate jury of 12 and 6 alternates not expected to be sequestered away from their families, but will stay anonymous to the public for their own safety. Prosecutors expected to argue Mr. Trump orchestrated a plot to buy the silence of a porn star who threatened to derail his 2016 bid for the White House.
Hello, how are you?
Reeling from the release of the Access Hollywood tape, prosecutors say Mr. Trump wanted to bury the story of a tryst with Stormy Daniels, so his former fixer Michael Cohen paid her off with $130,000 just days before the 2016 election. The crux of the state's case will be how the presumptive GOP nominee allegedly doctored his company's books to cover up how he reimbursed Cohen.
Sometimes you hear people describe it as a weak case, and I think that's the wrong way to think about it. The evidence is compelling. It's an attempt by Mr. Trump to obscure important facts from the voters right before the election.
Mr. Trump denies the encounter with Daniels ever happened, pleading not guilty after a grand jury indicted him on 34 felony counts last year, more recently suggesting he's prepared to risk taking the stand at trial.
Yeah, I would testify, absolutely.
And continuing to try to turn what would ordinarily amount to significant legal jeopardy to his political advantage while he seeks re-election, framing the prosecutors and the judge in this case, as in all of his cases, as out to get him.
When I walk into that courtroom, I know I will have the love of 200 million Americans behind me.
All right, Laura, so we want to bring in also our senior political correspondent. This is a legal story. It's a political story. Remains so. Let's talk about jury selection and where we are. You laid it out. How difficult in Manhattan, not known to be Trump country, let's be honest, how difficult will it be to get a fair jury for the former president?
This is why jury selection is expected to take days, if not weeks, because the amount of questions, 42 questions in a questionnaire, each of these jurors is going to have to answer these out loud. It's extensive because they want to make sure that each of them can be fair. Now, both sides will have a chance to strike them if they think they can't be fair, but also for just any reason at all, as long as it's not improper, like race or gender. You can strike someone just because you think they won't look like you want them to look. They will not, however, be questioned about their political affiliation or who they voted for.
Hallie, you know, these criminal trials have actually been a political boon to the former president in the Republican primary. Now we're in a general election.
Yeah, for the first time, we've turned the corner now into the general. So the former president, according to a senior advisor, tells me that he's feeling defiant this morning. It will not surprise you to hear that has been his MO all along here through these cases. His campaign largely sees this as a way to bring the campaign trail to the courtroom for the former president. This feeds into what he talks about at his rallies. The idea that he says he's a victim of political persecution here. The question is, we saw that do really well for him in the primary. He actually raised a lot of money off of it. It rallied Republicans around him. General election. Different story. We have some polling from just the last month that shows that for 44% of Americans, this isn't going to make a difference. What happens with his legal issues? However, for independents, about a third of them say it would make them less likely to vote for the former president if, in fact, he were convicted. That matters because, you know, Savannah, the margins in this general election are going to be so close that 36% of independents could make a swing.
Well, let's go back to the legal case for a moment here, because the underlying facts are essentially not disputed that the former president, from personal funds, paid off ultimately this porn star so that this affair wouldn't be revealed in the weeks before the election. But as a legal matter, how strong is this case?
I think the issue that has always been with this case is these are normally misdemeanors. The way you bump them up to a felony, which could carry jail time, is by saying there was some intent to deceive. The issue here, though, is the internal books and records that prosecutors say were falsified were all internal. They were not public. And so the question for this jury is going to be, if I'm the defense lawyer, how in the world was the public deceived if these were records that were never supposed to see the light of day? Now, prosecutors are going to come along and say, well, then why structure it in this odd way, such a complicated reimbursement scheme. If it was all on the up and up, why not just do it publicly? That's, I think, going to be the tension we see throughout this trial.
It's going to be interesting, Lori and Hallie. Thank you so much. And the matching outfits are noted.
I was going to say, indeed, indeed. All right, we've got 718. Let's check out Mr. Roker. Check out the weather.
I kind of match with him, too, so I could be part of the team. It'll be fantastic.
The lavender haze.
Yeah. There you go. Ooh, I like it. Or a purple rain, because we've got that coming. Look, we've got severe weather today for 14 million people. Lincoln, Nebraska, North Platte, Wichita, Dodge City, all the way down to San Angelo, and from Valentine to Wichita, baseball-sized hail possible. We're going to be watching that. Also, Wichita Falls down into southern Texas. Then for tomorrow, 24 million people at risk, damaging hail, wind gusts, and we've got a much stronger risk of EF2 or stronger tornadoes from Iowa City. We're also looking at the possibility for those St. Louis all the way down to Little Rock. And then we move into Wednesday, and the severe threat moves into the Mississippi and Ohio River valleys, 12 million people for wind gusts, damaging wind, and tornadoes possible. Heavy rain from the Great Lakes all the way into the Central Plains, anywhere from 1 to 4 inches of rain. And that is your latest weather. Guys,
all right. Thank you, Al. Still ahead, the battle over O.J. Simpson's estate with the families of his ex-wife and her friends still owed tens of millions of dollars. Jacob Soboroff has that story this morning.
Savannah, good morning to you. Yeah, it is a battle that continues this morning with payments being requested from each of those families and the IRS. We will tell you what the executor of the Simpson estate said coming up.
All right, Jacob, look forward to that. Plus, our one-on-one with basketball superstar Caitlin Clark before she begins the next chapter in her already legendary career. What she's saying to us about tonight's WNBA draft, her dream of competing in the Paris Olympics, and her surprise appearance on SNL this weekend. But first, this is Today on NBC.
Whether you're making the same breakfast that you have every day or baking a cake for an extra special day, eggs are a staple in our diets. Eggland's Best eggs are nutritionally superior to ordinary eggs, containing more vitamins and 25% less saturated fat. Not only are they better for you, but Eggland's Best eggs taste better too. There's a reason that they're America's number one eggs. Visit egglandsbest.com for additional information and delicious recipes.
When you're hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging to connect with candidates faster. Plus, 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/today. Just go to Indeed.com/today right now and support this show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/today. Conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Back 7:30. That was a fun moment. At the end of the NBA regular season, said the Rockets, Boban Marjanovic, egging on the crowd. And then, you know what he did? He intentionally missed that free throw so that everyone in the crowd got a free Chick-fil-A sandwich.
It's cute. Oh, so it's loser chicken dinner.
That is kind of cute.
Very. Chanel, good morning.
Good morning.
We're going to start this half hour with the new fallout surrounding the death of O.J. Simpson.
His longtime attorney has been named as the executor of Simpson's estate, expected to handle any claims to it. And that includes the debt still owed to the families of Simpson's ex-wife, Nicole, and Ron Goldman.
NBC's Jacob Sober, office in Los Angeles. He's got the latest on this. Hey, Jacob, good morning.
Hey, Hoda, good morning to you guys. In an interview with Malcolm Laverne, he told us he is taking his role as executor very seriously and is already combing through Simpson's assets in an effort to determine what his estate might be worth.
This morning, the battle between O.J. Simpson and the Goldman family continuing even after Simpson's death, centered around the estate of the former football star turned celebrity defendant.
Orenthal James Simpson, not guilty.
While Simpson was famously acquitted in the criminal trial over the murders of his ex-wife Nicole Brown Simpson and her friend Ron Goldman, he was found liable for wrongful death in a 1997 civil suit. The jury ordering Simpson to pay more than $33 million to the victims' families.
The civil verdict was the only opportunity we had to punish him for what he did to Ron and Nicole.
Damages that were never paid in full and have since ballooned to more than $100 million, according to an attorney for Fred Goldman, Ron's father. In a final will drafted in January of this year, Simpson ordered all of his property be placed in a trust. How those assets are distributed will be determined by his longtime attorney, Malcolm Laverne. Now, multiple parties, including the Simpson and Goldman estates, along with the IRS, have already requested payments, according to Laverne. On Friday, Laverne telling the Las Vegas Review-Journal, "I will do everything in my capacity to try and ensure that the Goldmans get nothing." Comments he later walked back in our interview.
Mr. Goldman's claim obviously has to be accepted.
Still, Laverne maintained Simpson's estate likely won't be able to pay the debt in full.
Mr. Goldman's probably going to have to decide whether he's going to be willing to negotiate.
While Simpson's funeral arrangements are still being finalized, Laverne says Simpson's four children are discussing a private ceremony for family and friends. And despite multiple requests for the former football star's brain to be examined for the degenerative brain disease, CTE, Simpson's family has declined to donate his body to science.
And it's a hard no because the family members are in consensus that the entirety of Mr. Simpson's body will be cremated.
All right, so Jacob, back to the legal battle. What are the next steps there?
Yeah, so Hoda, legal experts expect the final distribution of assets to play out in probate court. But the big task right now is determining what Simpson's belongings and legacy might actually be worth. An example Laverne mentioned to us was looking to see maybe if a collector would be interested in paying top dollar for some of Simpson's last sets of golf clubs or jewelry that he owned. All of that still needs to be determined. By the way, we should note that neither the Brown nor the Goldman families returned our requests for comment, guys.
All right, Jacob, thank you so much.
Still ahead, a break through in the mysterious disappearance of two Kansas moms missing for weeks. Several arrests just made in this case. We'll have the details.
But first, an inspiring conversation with basketball superstar Caitlin Clark. She sat down with our own Stephanie Gosk. Lucky Stephanie.
Oh, it was so fun, you guys. So fun talking to her. It's a big night for her. WNBA draft. It's no surprise who's likely going to be drafted first. We talked about that, as well as those crazy logo threes that she makes from midcourt. I'll have all that coming up.
I love that moment. We all do. Caitlin Clark breaking the NCAA Division I women's scoring record during her unforgettable final season as an Iowa Hawkeye. Mm-hmm.
Unforgettable is a good word. In a few short hours, Clark will learn who she'll be bombing logo threes for in the WNBA. The draft coming up tonight in Brooklyn.
Yeah, NBC Stephanie Goss caught up with Caitlin ahead of the big event. She had a big weekend.
Yes, she had a big weekend, and she's got a lot coming up. There is no doubt that this is Caitlin Clark's moment. Throughout her historic run at Iowa, she's proven she can sell out stadiums, smash records, and score from just about anywhere on the court, and she's only getting started. After hanging up her Hawkeyes jersey, she's now ready to go pro in her new chapter with the WNBA.
After a storybook college career filled with record-breaking moments and legions of new fans, NCAA superstar Caitlin Clark is ready to take her game to the next level as a WNBA rookie.
I know there would probably be a little bit of a learning curve, but I think always I've had confidence in myself. And that's always kind of what I remind myself is, you know, you're not here by accident.
They haven't sold tickets to the WNBA draft in years, and they sold out in 15 minutes. Where is your mindset going into the draft?
I think more than anything, I'm just really excited. I think, like, you know, this is a dream. This is something I wrote down on a piece of paper when I was in, like, second grade, like, get a basketball scholarship, play in the WNBA. Like, this is always something I wanted to do.
At tonight's draft in Brooklyn, the 22-year-old Iowa phenom is expected to be the number one pick by the Indiana Fever. In Indianapolis, home of the Fever, the Caitlin Clark effect is already in full swing.
I heard that season tickets are going, like, blazes in Indiana. Have you heard that rumor?
I have heard that rumor. I don't know the exact numbers, but I think they're selling pretty well.
Clark is also part of the reason why a record 18.9 million viewers tuned in to this year's NCAA championship game, making women's basketball must-see TV.
One of the really great things about this season has been watching all the little kids, most of them little girls, who are so inspired to play basketball because of you. What does that mean to you?
I think that's like the reason you do it. And just to see them scream your name or have your jersey on, that's something that never gets old.
Something else that never gets old? Seeing Clark drain those threes.
Every time you go to take one of those logo threes, I think to myself, she's never going to make that.
You don't have confidence in me?
No, come on. I know, I should have confidence. But then you do make it, and yeah. I think I should have known she was going to make that. But I wondered, what goes through your mind right before you take that shot?
I think the biggest thing is just confidence. I think sometimes, like, I feel like I'm closer to the basket than I really am, but also, like, the adrenaline gets going, the crowd gets behind you.
Playing to a crowd is something the star player never shies away from.
Here to comment is Caitlin Clark.
Clark even making a cameo on SNL.
You make a lot of jokes about women's sports, don't you, Michael?
What would you say is more daunting, getting ready for the national championship game or getting ready for Saturday Night Live?
Getting ready for Saturday Night Live, and it's not even close. My heart was like pounding out of my chest, but I did all right. It was super cool, and obviously to be a surprise guest, like that's a bucket list item that not a lot of people get to do.
Now with her college career in the rearview mirror and the WNBA within arm's reach, next up on Clark's bucket list, living out her ultimate hoop dreams in Paris at the Summer Games.
I know the team is not set. Your chances of making it are pretty good. What would it mean to you to represent the country in Paris this summer?
Yeah, I think it would mean everything. That's like one of my dreams as a kid growing up. You always want to be an Olympic gold medalist. So I know how special it is to represent USA across your chest. So being able to do that on the highest level would certainly be a dream come true.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I mean, editorial note, they'd be insane not to have Caitlin Clark on the team, but what is the process?
So get this, there is a mandatory training camp to make the team.
Oh.
Guess when they held the mandatory training camp? During the Final Four.
So,
so okay. She was the only collegiate athlete selected for the camp. Obviously, yeah. She had a pretty good excuse, but it's not set yet. So 12 players will go to Paris. The USA selection committee has the final say.
But they can make an exception for the mandatory training camp.
Savannah,
write her
I know, exactly.
You're right, exactly.
I missed camp because I was busy breaking records and almost winning the entire championship.
Also, for every kid watching, to think that in second grade she wrote on a piece of paper, like, I'm going to be in the WNBA and I want to play pro and all those things. She knew then.
Yeah, she knew. And you know what? All that energy that we saw this year for women's college basketball is just going to translate to WNBA, and that's what everyone's hoping for.
Let's go. Good interview, Steph. Yeah, that was awesome. Fun.
Thank you. Mr. Roker, what you got?
Bet there are a lot of second graders writing notes right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Fantastic. All right. Well, we've got some really beautiful weather for the Boston Marathon today. Starting off 9 a.m., 56 degrees and sunshine. By the time most people will be crossing the finish line, 64 degrees and sunny. So good luck to all the runners out there. Isolated record highs stretching from the plains all the way into the southeast. Look at these temperatures. Des Moines, 80 degrees. That's 18 degrees above average. Amarillo, 85. Same in Birmingham. New York City going to be 15 degrees warmer. At a high of 77 degrees today. Boston, tomorrow, you're going to be 64. Nashville, 87. Tulsa, going to see temperatures in the low 80s. And going into next week, temperatures cool off a bit for Chicago, but still seasonal at 59 degrees by Friday. Mid-70s in Louisville. New York City by Friday, 63 degrees. And look at Washington, D.C. Temperatures in the mid-70s right into the weekend. And that's your latest weather.
Guys. All right, Al, thank you. Just ahead, our first look at the restoration of the iconic Notre Dame Cathedral. 5 years to the day after that devastating fire.
How about the show This Is Us?
Wow.
Any fans?
Raise your hand. Oh, yeah.
Talking about the cast possibly getting back together to reunite for that. We'll have that story and a whole lot more. It was Coachella, Travis, and our girl all over the place. Pop starts coming up.
Whether you're making the same breakfast that you have every day or baking a cake for an extra special day, eggs are a staple in our diets. Eggland's Best eggs are nutritionally superior to ordinary eggs, containing more vitamins and 25% less saturated fat. Not only are they better for you, but Eggland's Best eggs taste better too. There's a reason that they're America's number one eggs. Visit egglandsbest.com for additional information and delicious recipes.